is Confess Radio, brought to you by Confess Global Community Film Festival. This evening, we're having the most illustrious singer-songwriter, Donna Greenberg. Now, Donna Greenberg has been described as a musical force to be reckoned with. Her third CD, Song in the Wind, featuring pianist, producer Jordan Clapman, Canada's finest musician, soared to heights. Hi, Donna.
Hello, Sandy. Thank you for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Donna, how long have you been a singer?
Well, I always sang when I was a child, but then I studied classical singing about 20, 25 years ago, and I was trained classically, and unfortunately, I got ill for quite a bit of time, and I had to stop singing because I couldn't support my voice. And then I got well again, and thankfully, and I decided to start diversifying. I'd done a show that was included Broadway, and I got more interested in more popular music, and I started to write some jazz songs, and then I started singing jazz songs, and that was about 8 years ago, something like that, that
really?
I came back to it and started writing, found a collaborator to work with, Jordan Clapman, and started writing my own stuff and singing a lot of different jazz standards, and brought some of my classical training into my singing because I like to sing songs in different languages. And then I started to write songs in different languages with the help of translators. But I just sort of decided, well, the sky's the limit, and I'm going to just go for it.
Okay. But you've been performing all your life, is that right?
Yes, yes.
At what age did you start performing?
Oh, my God. Well, I danced my whole life, and I studied acting for a while when I was a child. So I was on radio a little bit, and then I was in plays, and I was performing in dance performances, and then I was performing recitals when I was singing. So I guess my whole life I've been doing it, and I love to perform. I love sharing music with everybody. I think it's a wonderful gift to share.
It is. But you didn't start recording until a few years ago, is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yeah.
And what made you decide, this is a time for me?
Well, it was my time to do it.
Uh-huh.
I was in the right state of mind. I'd written some songs, and I write the melodies and the words primarily. And I've been writing poetry and lyrics since I was a child. And I studied classical harmony, which is very different than jazz harmony or popular harmony. And I didn't want to study any more of that. That wasn't my forte, but I wanted to find someone I could really work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a very good pianist. I studied for a while, but it's not my thing. And I'm better with something not in front of me, using my own body as the instrument. And then I met Jordan through somebody, through one of my coaches, and that was a wonderful, wonderful experience because we both understood each other musically, and he harmonized and arranged the music, and then we started to really collaborate, and it just was wonderful to work with somebody who felt the same way about music that I do.
This is Jordan Clapman.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. So, you know, I think that a lot of collaborations with people, when you read about the biographies of people, you have to have a good chemistry with somebody when you're working together, a very good writing chemistry. You know, people tend to form partnerships when they're creating, and we form different functions because I'm a singer and he's a pianist and he's
right.
a band leader. So, you know, and also he knew a lot of great musicians. I've met some wonderful musicians and played with them live, and they've been on my recordings, and we did such wonderful arrangements of things I never in my wildest dreams would imagine when I heard the melodies. It just, I'm a kind of person, I guess, because I'm a person of the theater, and I like to work together with people with their different talents. I'm not a kind of person that, you know, I have to do everything. I love to watch, and this goes it with everything. I like to see and inspire people to do the best job that they can, and I like to work in that organic way. It's very, very important to me. And I also like to give time for projects to evolve, so that's what happened with our CDs. Like, it started off, the first CD, Stranger, started off, I was going to do just a demo with five songs or something like that, and they were going to be standards. And then we started, I showed Jordan my originals, and then he turned them into, you know, he arranged them, and they sounded so great.
Right.
And so we started to, we said, well, why don't we record these with the standards? So on the first CD, I did 10 tracks, and it was three of my own originals with Jordan, and then it was the seven standards. But then the next one, we said, well, why don't we just do a lot of originals? And I was just so inspired. It's like the floodgates opened. I just wanted to write more and more, and it just came out. Mm-hmm. And I started experimenting, and I had a country song, and I had a lot of jazz songs, and I had, you know, I just got inspired to write different kind of music and wanted to see where it would take me. And that was very liberating, Sandy.
Now, this, your first album was Stranger, is that right?
Yes.
And you released that in what year? Is that 2009? Or
yes, so 2009.
What were the biggest challenges trying to get an album out like that?
Oh, my God. I mean, I've never done anything like that. I mean, there's one thing, you know, financial restrictions, time restrictions, you know, can you record things the way you want to in a certain amount of time without blowing everything that you own? And, you know, you didn't know how to get it out there. And I was lucky. I met good people that could help me get, you know, publicity people that could help me get radio play. And people seemed very interested in it. And
so basically, this is a self-funded album.
Yes, that one.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
It's the music business has changed a lot,
right?
And this is what most people are doing now.
It's very hard to get a recording contract anywhere.
Yes, and it's not always the best idea. It depends on the artist and everything, and I don't know enough about that. But
mm-hmm.
I like, to tell you the truth, Sandy, I like having my own, my independence.
Right.
I like to be able to do what I can. Not that I would say no to some money, but I mean, it's a very liberating experience to be able to call the shots and work with people. And if you want to spend a little bit longer and revise something,
right,
to take the time to do that. And I think that's what really we've been bringing up, slowly bringing up, like the level for the recordings. Like it just sort of takes off when you give yourself a chance.
Mm-hmm.
To do what you want and what you love to do. And I really think that's true for people.
It's a lot of nurturing.
Yes.
Of time and patience, but you really have to love what you do.
Yes.
Do you say so?
Oh, yes. And I certainly love what I do.
So once you got to that stage, did you find people come in knocking at your door, say, would you perform here? What was your first performance?
I don't remember. I mean, I've performed in clubs. I mean, I don't know. We call clubs and do you
so
want to
you
come
went
in?
Knock, you went knocking on doors.
I think, yes, I did. And some opportunities came to me because it sort of works that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, well, yeah, you have to go out there and you have to try. You have to work very hard. And it's not easy now, I have to say, because a lot of people, the club scenes in Toronto have dried up. It's hard to get people out. You know, it seems like the more technology we have, and the more free music people have,
the more they stay at home.
The more they stay at home, which is ironic because it's unfortunate. You know, it just seems to be that way in the arts. It's not just with music. It's with theater. It's with dance. It's really hard to put, as they say, the bums in the seats. And even though you have appreciative audiences, people are also very busy, and there's a lot of choice in a big place like Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, You do the best you can.
You
do.
Right. Now, your music has been described as passionate, soulful, and romantic. Would you say that's how you describe your music yourself?
Yes, yes. I would say so.
And who would you think are your biggest fans these days?
I don't know.
Is it an older crowd, a younger crowd? Is
no,
it a mix?
I'm really surprised all the time. You know, when I play in places and people come up to me, you know, you think it's going to be a more mature demographic, but actually lots of young people relate to my music. I think it's the kind of music, we try to write universal words.
Right.
I'm not trying to speak to any one person or any one age group. I'm writing about, I guess, the human condition, about love, loss, about the joy of something. You know, I sort of look at things, I look at the classics and I try to emulate them, you know, like the great, like the Gershwins and Cole Porter and all these, you know, Duke Ellington, these great, great artists, you know, people, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Rodgers and Hart, all these great musicians that wrote and performed and, you know, worked with the best people and really cultivated their art and really spoke to the heart. And that's why they still speak to the heart. That's the kind of music I want to write. So to me, it's not so much a question of popularity. It's a question of trying to say what's truthful and what's meaningful to people. And hopefully, you know, I believe when you do something, like, people are always rediscovering music. That's mm-hmm. the thing about music. You know, it's like books. You can go to the library, you can hear a recording, and all of a sudden you discover that artist and it opens up your world. So you never know as a musician who it's going to hit and when, and is it going to happen 5 years from now? Is it going to happen tomorrow? You don't know what's going to happen.
Now, your most recent album is called Song in the Wind.
Yes.
And that was released October 2012.
Yes.
How long did that take for you to get to that?
Well, we spent a long time on it. We were supposed to record it in 3 months or something, and it wound up being a lot longer. Part of it, the reason was, actually, was because I wrote a song for a friend of mine who had died. She was diagnosed with cancer. And I did a gig for her in her honor, and the proceeds went to Princess Margaret Hospital. Some of them did, and you know, it was unfortunate because she went very quickly, and it was a rare type of cancer. And but I wrote a song. I wanted to record it and put it on that CD, and I did. It's called Solitudes, and. You know, that's why we delayed releasing it, because I just wanted to finish that song and add that to the CD. And I was so glad that I did, because it had a different kind of feeling. It's kind of more like an art song, but when I, you know, it seems to really move people. You can hear it on the whole thing on YouTube. It is on YouTube. We've been putting all the tracks from the CD on YouTube, as well as live performances.
Okay. Why don't we listen to a little bit of the album Song in the Wind?
Sure.
And we'll get back to it.
Okay.
Just to remind the listeners, we're listening to Confess Radio, brought to you by Confess Global Community Film Festival.
Lá da montanha, como flui. das ondas do mar, como a lua e as estrelas, intocáveis no índigo azul do céu, como o sol que aquece, esquenta ao meio-dia. Depois que as sombras forem e a tempestade dispersar, eu voltarei e você lá estará. E os mares do tempo, como a canção do vento,
farão. Part of your song from Song in the Wind.
Yes, that song is the title track for the CD, and the artist that is singing with me is Marcelo Neves, who is a Brazilian singer. And I wrote that song, it was kind of an homage to Antonio Carlos Jobim, who wrote The Girl from Ipanema. I love his music very much, and I've sang many, many of his songs. And I love, one thing about my music is almost all of my music has dance rhythms, because dance is so big a part of my life and always has been. So, and I hear music that way. And I kind of, with that song, I had this idea that I was on, even though I've never been to Brazil, that I was in Rio de Janeiro and I was on that mountain, Corcovado, and I was there, and I could see the vegetation, I could see the blue, the gorgeous blue of the water, although I've never been there, but it was just so alive, and I wanted to try to convey that and this idea of longing and the wind, like a nice warm wind and a warm breeze, and feeling what it's like to be there. And that song just sort of came out of that little fantasy, and then I decided to do an arrangement with a male singer. I thought it would make a beautiful love song with a male singer. So we found Marcelo, and is a wonderful singer and a wonderful fellow, and we really enjoyed singing together, and I was very happy with the results of it.
Did you meet Marcelo again?
We kind of called around.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. It may have been Luanda Jones. She was giving me some coaching with my Brazilian. I hope people don't think that I speak all these languages. I don't. When you're classically trained, you learn how to pronounce everything and how to sing in different languages. And sometimes if you work hard enough, you start to understand a little bit more. I love bossa nova. As I said, I love Jobim, and I was always interested. It's always interesting when you hear a song sung in one language and the same song sung in English, because the translations are different and the accent, the way you accentuate certain words are different. So it kind of changes the songs, and sometimes that's why on this CD we have recorded some of the songs like Cantemos a la Luna, which is a song that I wrote and recorded on my first CD. We decided that I wanted to do a complete Spanish version and a complete English version, because when you hear them, sometimes people don't even realize it's the same song. Mm-hmm. It's just the whole emphasis is different, the colors slightly different, I sing it slightly differently, and that's the fun of it. So with Song in the Wind, we wanted to have that, and I wanted to do some duets. I wanted to have at least one duet and in another language. And I thought it sounded really, really hot together, the two.
What are the other songs on that album? Do we have a couple here?
Sure. We have Stranger, which we re-recorded from the first version that I did. Spring Must Be Coming. I don't remember.
Okay, let's listen. We do have Stranger, as a matter of fact.
Okay,
let's listen to a bit of that.
Thank you. your eyes. Feelings of passion and pleasure and pain excite and confuse me. You drive me insane. Can I resist when it's you I so desire? Feelings of passion and pleasure and pain excite and confuse me. You drive me insane.
Oh, that's a very passionate song. What was the inspiration for that?
A number of things. One not so romantic. I was reading a book on lyric writing, and I decided to give myself a little test. And I thought, okay, I'm going to think of a subject, and I'm going to think of something very alluring. So at the time, I think Lord of the Rings came out, and there was this, it's not a romantic scene, but there was this picture of Strider in the first one where he's in a distance and he's looking, and there's this whole looking back and forth at characters. And I started imagining when I was watching the movie, which I've seen a number of times, I started to imagine, well, what if you were somebody who was on a stage and somebody was looking at you, and you never got to know that person, just this attraction, this instant attraction between two people. And what would it be like if you didn't meet? Could you meet? Would you meet? Those kind of allure that is kind of like from the old style movies, you know, in the 40s, the noir movies where, you know, Lauren Bacall or Ingrid Bergman, they're looking at this beautiful woman and a really handsome man, and they're back and forth, this energy and this electricity. It was that kind of moment. And I decided I want to try to write about it. And that's what came out. And I thought, well, what could be more alluring than, you know, an intriguing stranger and, you know, you're letting yourself go with your ideas and thoughts, and maybe nothing would ever happen, but the fact that you let yourself go is exciting. So it was, or it could turn into something wonderful.
Well, you definitely let yourself go there.
Yes, yeah. I did.
Now, you have an event coming up soon.
Yes, actually, this is the second time we've performed Jordan on piano and Kobe Haas on bass and myself. We're going to be doing a show at the Flying Beaver Pub Array, which is a wonderful jazz and comedy place on Parliament Street. And last time we were there, we had a great time, and we're doing a show called More Sizzle, Sass and Spice. And it's a fun show. I'm going to be singing some Broadway hits, some jazz, and quite a few originals. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I hope that people will come out there, because it's a great little club. The food is fantastic. It's reasonable. It's just a wonderful place. And the tickets are $15 in advance. And you can get them online with www.pubarray.com. PUBARET.com, or going on my website, you'll see it, and it will lead you to that as well, DonnaGreenberg.com.
And again, what's the location?
It's right at Parliament and Carlton. I'm afraid I don't have the exact number, but you can look it up, the Flying Beaver Pub Array.
And this is downtown Toronto?
Downtown Toronto.
And the date again?
The date is Sunday, May 5th. That's 2 weeks from now, or a little bit less than 2 weeks. And it's at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Great. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on tonight. And what we're going to do before we leave, we're going to play out the song. Cantemos, is that it?
Cantemos, sure. That's great.
Let everybody listen to that. We want to tell you thank you for listening to Confess Radio, brought to you by Confess Global Community Film Festival. And here is Cantemos.
And thank you so much, Sandy, and Confess, and we hope that you'll stay tuned. Thank you.
Abre tu corazón, abre tu mente, abre tus ojos, mira muy dentro, mira dónde estás, dónde has estado, eres el único que lo comprende.
Veo en tus ojos el amor ha llegado.